Hi, and welcome to What's Going On in Banking. I'm Ron Shevlin, Chief Research Officer at Cornerstone Advisors. Hot news this week, the Wall Street Journal reported that a consortium of large banks, including Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, and Bank of America, were planning to release a digital wallet to compete with Apple Pay and PayPal. If this sounds like a consortium-like early warning, I think that's exactly kind of what it is, since early warning was cited in the article as being the company that's going to run and deploy this digital wallet. I'll share with you some of my short takes on this. First of all, I was not particularly impressed or bowled over by this for a number of reasons. First of all, I think that for the most part, I think the big banks are going into this with a winner-take-all mentality. And when I look at consumer behavior in the digital wallet, P2P, and general payments world, and you all know this, this is not a winner-take-all game. And I think to a large extent that that's kind of what's guiding the bank's thinking here, is that they think that they can steal market share away. I don't think that's how consumers use the digital wallets and digital tools and digital payment tools. I think to a large extent it's driven a lot by convenience. I also had an issue with them thinking that they were going after Apple in particular, when PayPal is clearly the 800-pound gorilla in this space. But I think they were overlooking the strengths of Square Cash in particular, which actually, according to the consumer research I've done, has higher utilization than Apple Pay does, which shouldn't be surprising because Apple is limited and bound by iPhone users, whereas Square Cash App isn't. But the strength of the merchant network that Cash App brings, that Square brings to the table, I think is something that this consortium was overlooking. There actually seemed to be some confusion as well as to what early warning's role was in this. One of the leading payment experts in the space, I'm not going to mention his name even though I respect him greatly, posted on his own blog and in Twitter as well that this was separate from early warning and it was going to be a separate consortium. And then minutes later after seeing that, I saw a LinkedIn post from early warning claiming how proud they were to be part of this engagement. So to help us make some sense of this and to get down to the whole so what of this digital wallet announcement, I've brought on the show today Scott Harkey, who is the Executive Vice President of Finance and Payments at Endava, one of the leading payments experts in this space and actually a fellow Forbes contributor as well. Scott, I really appreciate you coming on the What's Going On in Banking podcast. And to get your thoughts and comments, I kind of want to segment it out a little bit, because after I had posted on LinkedIn about this announcement, I would say that 99% of the comments I got were pretty supportive. You accounted for the 1% that didn't, and that's cool. That's kind of why I wanted you on. But I wanted you to just take a few minutes to describe why you kind of had an issue with the post and maybe the announcement altogether.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. And thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show. There's always at least one, right? There's always at least one guy that's going to cause trouble. I guess this time it's me. But I think the immediate reaction was probably to how it feels like some of this news came out. And that was, from my perspective, the initial Wall Street Journal article felt like it made a lot of assumptions about what was happening. Not sure what the source of intel was or where it came from or how it got out there. But certainly over the course of the day, it got updated with a little bit more information as EWS, I assume, put out an announcement or gave an actual comment. And I struggle sometimes when people make assumptions and then judge something based on those assumptions, right? And so to me, it felt like there was a lot of assuming it would be a certain thing. There was a lot of reacting to, it's maybe Apple Pay isn't the right analogy, kind of like what you said, which I totally agree with. But I didn't see a direct quote from EWS or any party where they said that that was the point, right? And so it's less than knowing what the point is and more of just saying wait a minute, let's hear what it actually is from whoever's initiative it is. Let's understand what the go-to-market for it is or what the objective is. Let's understand the use cases it's meant to target. And I just felt like everybody was assuming what it would be and then judging based on their own assumptions, when in reality, it could be something entirely different or targeted a completely different set of use cases. So that was really the kind of initial reaction, right? It was just like, I'm not one to shy away from critiquing sometimes what the big banks do, or, you know, the opportunity there, and live through a lot of that. But, you know, I want to give everybody a chance. Let's judge it as a product that goes to market, not as a pre-release announcement that wasn't even really an announcement.
Got it. Good points. I do want to, well, we have to take the report as is on this one, and then get your thoughts, because I do want to, one of the other issues I had was the description of the user experience, which said that in making a purchase online, the consumer would have to give the merchant their email address that would then go back and check with early warning system to find out what cards were available, and then present that list back to the consumer to make the choice on payments. My comment was, for God's sakes, I hope that's not how the actual experience works. So I actually have two questions for you. Quickly, do you think that is an acceptable user experience? But I also want you to get into, you did comment on LinkedIn that you did have some really good thoughts about what the experience could be. So could you address those two things?
Yeah, you know, the way you just described the experience, or that it was described in the article, makes me think of one of the iterations of MasterPass a number of years ago, right? When MasterPass was being built, one of the models they tried was trying to provide the master wallet, while each individual financial institution had their own like sub wallet almost within that. And that description makes me think of that experience a little bit, which was not great, right? And was not widely adopted. So I will say, I hope that is not the in-state experience. But I also think that the way their credential of the underlying customer is entered, you know, it feels like there's lots of opportunities for that to maybe not be quite as painful as we just articulated, depending on the use case, right? So when I think about use cases that are involving, you know, real-time payments as an example, and the whole request for pay flow around bill pay or other things as it gets used, I mean, that is that whole flow, right? I mean, it's being initiated by the customer engaging that flow. It's going to a contact email address, you know, based on what the financial institution has on file. So if you separate, and none of this is with like knowledge of how it gets implemented, but just in thinking about a way it could be implemented, separate the experience today of what we think of as a digital wallet in a checkout from the assets that the banks have or have access to through EWS, through the clearinghouse with tokenization and real-time payments, through other entities that they have where they're looking at how do they not build a directory, but, you know, say leverage the Zelle directory, right? When you think about the alias structure in Zelle and what that could enable. If you start to put these pieces together and you start to separate out the wallet experience of Apple Pay, which again, I think is actually a bad example, because if that is the competition that they're going after, I think that's going to be a real struggle from just the pure experience and integrated experience Apple can provide. But if you think of it more of a payment use case, and what are the set of payment use cases where a bank-driven wallet could actually provide a better experience, I do think there's quite a few of them, and I think
like
RTP,
what? Can you give a few, can you give a few examples, use cases, yeah, where you think
well,
it's better?
I think bill pay is the obvious one, yeah, as I was just saying, right? I think as bill pay moves into real-time payments or requests for pay becomes an integral part of that flow, the banks are going to naturally be embedded in those flows, and it becomes an easy one. I think recurring payments becomes another one, right, where if I'm setting up a recurring biller or a recurring payment, the one-time facilitation of the connection of that account to a payment mechanism is not a big deal in the context of a recurring bill that happens or a recurring payment that happens every month. I think some of the e-commerce use cases or some of the P2P use cases that already exist today, again, if the enrollment or the usage is a one-time thing, or the enrollment is a one-time thing, or the connection is a one-time thing, then the mechanism for payment can actually become pretty frictionless. And if you think away Shop Pay, right, the same flow you just described is how Shop Pay works. Every time I go to a site that uses Shop Pay is the easiest checkout mechanism, but I still have to start by putting my email address in there or my phone number, right? And that's what builds the connection. Everything after that is super fast, super easy, flows super well. to me, the model is that it's okay. I get it. There's a little bit of friction and you have to identify yourself somehow, right? And you can use cookies and other things to make that easy. But fundamentally, you have to identify yourself. But then once you do, if it's a fully integrated experience, it can actually be a really great checkout. The bank already knows address, already knows all these other details about you. They've got access to the rail, right, where they can put it on the real-time payment network. They have aliases and other things they can use to attach it to underlying accounts. So I think it's applying all of those tools, all those assets to a payment flow or a payment experience that more resembles a Shop Pay than it does necessarily an Apple Pay checkout.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Scott, you're making a great case. I'm still somewhat hesitant because and pessimistic because of a couple of things. Number one is I go back to my comment earlier that this is not a winner take all thing. You're pinpointing the use cases is spot on, and that's the key. The key is, can the banks capture a large enough use case, you know, where there's significant enough volume? Because for a lot of other things, you know, people's behaviors, it's hard to change. Once they've changed to using the digital wallet from an Apple, a Google, or whoever, or Cash App, it then gets recodified, that behavior. And now the big banks kind of want to come in and, you know, try to disrupt that. I was a little surprised you picked Bill Pay as an example, because I would have thought that one would have been a little bit harder to kind of crack, given the way, especially young consumers who just, you know, wait to get an email from the biller and do stuff. But I did think, though, your comment about the recurring payments could be one that they could crack if they use some smart subscription management type approaches and really help from that perspective. So, just two last questions I want to ask you. Sort of from an organizational perspective, do you have any thoughts and insights of how this is going to operate? Is this something that you, from your understanding, is the part of early warning? As I mentioned, one of experts, you probably know who I'm talking about. I think he's down in your area as well, geographically. Said this was separate and apart from early warning with its own CEO. Do you have any insight into how this is going to work organizationally?
Yeah, I don't, in the sense that, you know, I saw the press release or the commentary EWS put out. I saw the LinkedIn update of, employees at Early Warning that identified new roles. I would read those leaves more than, I fully respect others and their opinions, but I've seen a lot of noise and a lot of things, be circulated as rumor, understanding back in my Apple Pay days that were totally wrong. So I've learned to wait for the announcement or wait for the official word to come out.
Well, that was a great Freudian slip, and I'm going to let people figure that one out. That was an amazing Freudian slip on your part. So they are expecting that this to be announced second half of this year, which either that's incredibly fast development time or they've been working on this for a while under the covers. What's are you surprised that they're going to release so quickly?
It does feel really soon. I've heard rumors of this, and I think we probably all read some of the headlines about JP Morgan and others kind of going back and forth on some of these use cases, and not mention of a wallet specifically, but certainly conversation around this topic and whether or not they should enable some of it. I think in general, the banks looking at, how do they think about RTP and do they let it replace some of the card volume and card transactions? Historically, that was really taboo, right? You wouldn't even have a discussion inside a big bank about, potentially replacing interchange with some of these lower cost methods. But it feels like a lot of that shifting around. It feels like there's a lot of recognition of needing to continue to kind of own relationship with the customer in the payment space. And so in that context, it's not really surprising to me. It feels like the success of Zelle has certainly kind of propelled the banks to feel confident in their ability to bring something to market. I think that's the other comment I had was when you were talking about use cases is, I also totally agree that it's not a winner-take-all. I don't know any bank that thinks it is, though, right? And there again, that's where I go back to the commentary on the article is like conjecture of, nobody said that they were thinking about it as they had to win everything. They, you know, Zelle is a massive success to the banks that launched it from their point of view, but it doesn't have the whole market, right? Venmo and Square Cash do a fantastic job. So it's, I think it's okay to think of success as being, you know, a player in the market for a certain set of use cases, for a certain demographic even, right? And that's the way I view success for something like this as well. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out in terms of timing. That does feel soon, but you know, these things sometimes take years, and sometimes POCs come out really quick. So we'll see.
All right, last point. And I'm glad you brought up the point about Zelle and the winner take all. And yes, they have done very well from a P2P perspective. I would say that, you know, they do love to promote the fact that they have such huge volume. But, you know, part of the reason why they were able to, I think, gain such success so quickly was a couple reasons, maybe. Number one, the competition was non-bank. It was Venmo. It was Cash App. It was PayPal. You know, the existing P2P tools were, you know, vendor-driven and not particularly good. And many of the early players, you know, were basically looking to charge people a dollar per payment, and nobody wants to pay to pay. But the other thing that has helped drive Zelle's success is the fact that they have made inroads into the smaller, mid-sized institutions. And once again, while I think I can point to a lot of institutions who are not super happy about the cost of doing this, they're in, they're seeing the volume, they're accepting it. And yes, we've seen, one competitor from the community bank side to this, but they've done very well. But part of the thing, Scott, is that not only is there no existing bank competition, they're not really competing with themselves on this. And with this digital wallet, you know, obviously from a credit card perspective, you know, Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, I don't know if Capital One is part of this consortium or not, you know, they're duking it out every day on the credit card side. So it seems to me that, like, unlike Clear Exchange, which, you know, was the progenitor to Early Warning's to Zelle as a before they turned it over to Early Warning, you know, there I see a whole lot more conflict that's inherent in this than there was with Zelle. You think that's going to be an issue?
I think it's a great point, and I think that the J.P. Morgan example, again, just from the headlines and stuff I read, is a great example of even inside a single entity how there can be conflict or there can be strong different opinions about how hard to lean into some of this. So I absolutely think it's real. You know, I feel like I have to put the caveat out there of I'm not saying this will be easy or even that it'll work. Right. I think all the doubt and all the critique is understandable. I think it's more of I understand why the banks would want to do it. I do believe they have the assets, and kind of now at this point, the proven ability to bring something to market and make it successful. And so I feel like if there was going to be a chance with ISIS and Softcard and MCX and all those things behind us, right? I feel like if there was going to be a chance to make something successful, now feels like a pretty good time to make a run at it. So it's not surprising to me that they're going for it. And I think we just have to see what gets out in the market and then judge it then.
I have changed the title of my blog post 3 times, Scott. It started with delusional on announcement. Then it went, I softened it a bit to doubtful on announcement. And I have finally changed it again to doomed on announcement. So I'm a little bit pessimistic because you look forward to it. One word, optimistic or pessimistic about this consortium?
I'm definitely optimistic.
Awesome. Scott Harkey, EVP of Payments and Financial Services at Endava, thanks a lot for being on What's Going On in Banking, everybody. Thanks you for listening in. Hope to see you on the next episode of What's Going On in Banking.